You're listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay first aired on October 1st, 2004.
Everyone has his or her enthusiasms and agendas. Among my small circle of friends, they are amazingly diverse and certainly not always in agreement with my own. When disagreement occurs, the first rule of diplomacy is to evaluate the other's viewpoint, to weigh it carefully against your own, and to search for shared ground from which to start an accommodation. My father was 45 years old when I was born, the last of six well-spread-out children, so his advice carried a certain grandfatherly weight with me. He advised me that by allowing myself time to recover from the natural reaction to criticism, the weakness of my own position might be illuminated. At college, I came under the influence of a great many people who I admired immensely. Late in my junior year, I found a real counselor, one I never met, whose untimely death preceded my first real session with him. Aldo Leopold, an Iowan by birth, with a degree in forestry from Yale, had a productive career in United States Forest Service and private consulting before accepting the chair of game management created for him by the University of Wisconsin. That was the year he wrote the text Game Management, which really helped define for me my first career. Then, in 1949, the year that I graduated from college, his masterpiece, A Sand County Almanac, was published. I found in it a broad enough perspective to encompass and instruct all of my professional efforts through the years. I read the book often enough that I could quote long passages verbatim. This I did often to the dismay of my conservation colleagues and later my students at Oswego. What impressed me most, I think, on my initial reading of the almanac was that Leopold, while he loved and understood the concept wilderness, espoused the notion that civilization and culture are exclusionary byproducts of wilderness. The nature of each culture has been deeply influenced by the nature of its environmental roots. Consider the following excerpts. Wilderness is the raw material out of which man has hammered the artifact called civilization. Wilderness is a resource which can shrink but not grow. In other words, shaped or influenced by people, wilderness retreats. We might make the point, however, that the American Indian, as is the case with a number of other native cultures, lived in a kind of harmony with the land. To my mind, they were part of the native community. Their lifestyles and their religion confirm that. Leopold put it this way, "The culture of primitive peoples is often based on wildlife. Thus, the Plains Indian not only ate buffalo, but buffalo largely determined his architecture, dress, language, arts, and religion." His point is well taken, but no culture that has characteristic architecture, dress, language, and art should be characterized as primitive, except perhaps as it relates to technology. I learned as a result of doing joint workshops over the last decade with Michael Taylor, a Seneca, and Irving Terry Lyons, an Oneida, how sophisticated and in tune to the environment the Iroquois culture is. I grew to admire both the men and their culture. How the American Indian relates to nature is not the question here, however. It is those of us whose ancestors adopted or appropriated wild America who hold hostage the health of our future environment. Leopold defined two important strategies which must be employed if we are to preserve the sanity of our wild world. First, he said, we need to know our world at least as well as the Native Americans do. Second, we must adopt an environmental ethic that assures our good citizenship of this land. He wrote, all ethics so far evolved rest on a single premise, that the individual is a member of a community of interdependent parts. His instincts prompt him to compete for his place in that community, but his ethics prompt him to cooperate, perhaps in order that there may be a place to compete for. Even as long ago as 1948, the year he died, he could see that we were drifting away from this sweet relationship with the land. Conservation is a state of harmony between men and land, he wrote. No important change in ethics was ever accomplished without an internal change in our intellectual emphasis, loyalties, affections, and connections. The proof that conservation has not touched those foundations of conduct lies in the fact that philosophy and religion have not heard of it yet. If any of this interests you, you might wish to join me at Rice Creek Field Station at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, October 14th. Included will be an illustrated reading of one of Leopold's favorite essays. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.